Oh, Lord Jesus, we come to give you our worship this morning. In this season of Christmas, we don't just remember you as the child born in a manger, but we remember you as the Lamb who was slain. You came to live and die so that we could have life. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory. Let that be on our lips continually. And as we continue to worship you now, as we open your word, we pray that you would come and fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit so that we can understand, not just that we can understand, but that we would see you more clearly and give you our worship. We love you and ask that you move in a mighty way among us now. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this morning, we are picking up where we left off right before Advent. Last fall, if you were here, we had begun a journey through the book of Exodus. And in this time that we're in between now and Lent, we're going to finish up going through Exodus. And so as I've been thinking about that, I want to remind you the theme that we've been looking at as we've been looking at Exodus. The theme is the mission of God and the mission of God's people. The mission of God and the mission of God's people. I've been thinking a lot about that as I've been preparing for this new year. And as I've been thinking about what a new year of ministry looks like among us, there have been some questions that have been going through my mind. Questions like, what does a healthy church look like? What does a healthy church look like? What does a church that's growing and thriving look like? Now, I want to remind you that when I use the word church, I'm not talking about an institution or this building. I'm talking about the body of believers, followers of Jesus. And so in these questions, and I ask this other one too, what is a church that's having an impact, not just on the lives of those who come in through these doors or who watch via live stream, but are having an impact in the community around us? What does it look like for us to thrive in this season ahead? How does the church thrive in the midst of a pandemic? We're still in one. We're hoping to be out of it someday soon, but we're still in the midst of it. So what does that look like for us at St. Andrew's? Well, as I've thought about those questions, I'm reminded of the mission statement of St. Andrew's, and so I want to remind you of that right now. The mission of St. Andrew's is to extend God's transforming love and grace by being disciples making disciples. Let me say that again. The mission of St. Andrew's is to extend God's transforming love and grace by being disciples making disciples. You see, a disciple is one who follows. It's a follower. And in Christian terms, we talk of a disciple as one who follows Jesus. But in our following Jesus, we see that the call is that we invite others to come on this journey with us. And what I want you to see this morning is this: as followers of Christ, we have a part to play. You have a part to play. Every single one of us has a part to play. And that's what we're going to look at as we look at this passage in Exodus chapter 18 that Dustin read just a moment ago. And what I'm going to highlight this morning is this: it's the theme of the importance of shared ministry. The importance of shared ministry together. Now, let me take us back to Exodus for a moment. Let me kind of summarize where we are in this story. Remember that Moses was God's chosen leader to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. They had been there some 400 years. And so now they are in this area, this land called the wilderness, on their way to the promised land. And so here's Moses, this leader, who at this point is leading some over a million people. That's how big the Israelites were, over a million people. How could one man care for that many? I mean, step back and think about that for a second. How could one man care for all of those? You see, what Moses was doing wasn't sustainable. Let me bring you the context. Let's look again at Exodus 18, verses 13 through 18. We read, "The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, 'What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?' And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said to him, I love what he said, he was so blunt, what you are doing is not good. And he goes on and we read, you and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for this thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. You see, Moses was carrying a burden that was far too great for one person to carry. And what you and I need to see is this, the work of ministry is far too great for one person to do it alone. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, had wise words to give him. He recognized that there was no way that Moses could care for and lead God's people in an effective way all by himself. And so he charged Moses to find others who will come alongside him in the work that God had given him. And we see this in verses 21 and 22. Jethro says, moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall decide among themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. So what you see here is Moses being charged to find others to come along and do shared ministry with him. Now, the reality is that the context of this, and Moses was in this part of his ministry was a judge, and so he needed others to help handle disputes. Well, the context is a little different than ours today, but the idea is the same. The importance of shared ministry together. Friends, here's what I want you to see. If we're going to be people who see the gospel, this message of Christmas, and yes, we are in this season of Christmas, if we're going to see this message of God coming among us, to restore, to redeem, to reconcile our lives and reconcile the brokenness of society around us, if we're going to see the reality of Jesus become more real in our lives and in the community around us, we have got to all see that we have a part to play. And I believe that we need to be called up as a church, each one of us, into the part, into the role that God has for us to play. Again, it's that idea of disciples making disciples. You have a role to play. I have a role to play. We all do. And so what I want to look at for the next few minutes is this. What does shared ministry look like at St. Andrews? What does this really look like here? Well, the reality is Dustin and I have been called to be shepherds here at St. Andrews, to pastor, to teach, to preach, and care for this body in so many other ways. But the reality is he and I can't do it on our own. And I have been so challenged in this last year in that reality because in the times from March and I would say probably till the beginning of December, I've had moments when I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to care for the 600, 700 people of St. Andrews and I've got to be there for every single person and make sure everyone's okay. And in those moments, I felt this incredible burden. But instead of it catapulting me to go do more, what happened is I took on this burden that I had to do it all, and all of a sudden I just began to implode because I wasn't designed to do it all. Dustin wasn't designed to do it all. You see, we need shared ministry. Well, we also have, besides Dustin and I, we've got a leadership team here, don't we? Men and women who have been called up from this body to serve alongside what we're doing in the ministries of this church. And before I go on, let me just say one thing about the leadership team. You all heard me share last fall that we're bringing new members onto the team, and I'd hoped that we would say at the end of December, we could say, here are the new members. But what we realized is, as we were looking at new people coming on, we didn't have any processes or procedures on how to sustain us going forward in the years of St. Andrews to continually bring new people on. So we've worked really hard this fall, putting processes and procedures together so that in the years ahead, we'll be able to bring new people on with regularity. And I'm really excited about that. But I will tell you, hopefully this month, I'll be able to announce new members that will be coming on. There's some folks that we're looking at that I'm very excited about. That's just a little aside. But let me get back to what I was saying about shared ministry. Dustin and I can't do it all. The leadership team can't do it all. We have an incredible staff here at St. Andrew's. Incredibly gifted men and women. They can't do it all. And what I realize is this, our role, one of the vital roles that we have as leaders here at St. Andrew's is to call you up, is to help equip the body of Christ to do the work of ministry, to help you see that you have a vital role in what God's called you to. We're all gifted differently, but you have gifts that I believe for us to really flourish and thrive as a church in these days ahead is that we want to help equip you all for the work of ministry. And that's what Paul is getting at in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Listen to what he wrote. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by the craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each person is working properly, makes the body grow, that it builds itself up in love. Now, that's a lot that Paul just wrote right there. It's a lot that I just said. I want to encourage you after this, take some time to read through Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and sit with the Lord and ask Him to show you the things that He wants to highlight from that. But one of the things I want you to see is this whole idea of shared ministry, that the body being equipped for the work of ministry is built up in such a way that we are this body of incredible love, that we shine forth the love of Christ because we've been ministered to by the hands and feet of Christ among us, that we would grow to maturity. Do you see that? That's the call. That's the invitation for us, is to see where and how God has gifted each of us to be used in a vital way for His kingdom. Now, let me take you back to Exodus real quick. When Moses was playing his part, when those who were called up to come alongside him were playing their part, do you know what the result was? They thrived. Not only did they thrive, it says that there was peace. Look at verses 22 and 23 of Exodus 18. We read, "And let them judge all the people all the times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves." And this is what we read. "So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you, and you will be able to endure, and all the people also will go to their place in peace." Isn't that a beautiful picture of when the people, the body, is serving and functioning as the body? What we see is that not only are we built up because we're ministering to one another through the love of Christ, but friends, as we are built up, guess what else is built up? This community around us. This isn't just for us to say, hey, let's just all huddle together and use our gifts and be all built up. It's unto something even greater, that you and I go out truly being the hands and feet of Jesus, knowing that we're equipped, knowing that we've got others encouraging and spurring us on. You see, as we use our gifts in this body, the community finds itself richly blessed. And I believe that people need to see that desperately today. A body truly caring for each other that begins to care for our neighbors. Literally our neighbors. The people that we work with. that we bring something different. We need to be built up as the body of Christ so that we can take that message around. You see, one of my prayers this morning is this, that this message here will stir you up to begin to say, God, or ask the question, God, how have you created me? How have you gifted me? Where are you calling me to serve in your church today? Where are you calling me to reach out to those in the community around me? Who are those people that I see but I just pass by? God, what are you calling me to? Those are questions that I think we need to be asking ourselves. You see, friends, because here's the reality. Churches thrive in the midst of a pandemic. Churches thrive even though we're separated from each other. We can still thrive and have an impact. I'm reminded of the words of Scripture that says, the gates of hell will not prevail. While it seems the great challenges continue to increase around us, the Lord's church is going to go forth with power and glory and make a difference in this community. When I think about that, when I think about ministering to those who are isolated or who haven't been coming because not comfortable being in the worship service, I think, what does it look like to reach out to them? Have you thought about those people that you don't see every Sunday anymore? Have you thought about what it would look like to give them a call or to send them a note? You know, our community group was talking, this was probably the beginning of December, and we were having one of those get real talks because, you know, we've been together as a group for a number of years, and we kind of came to a place where, like, we want to go deeper. What does it look like to really go deeper with each other? And so we just started throwing out ideas, and someone said, some of y'all will know Sylvia Vandover. In the early years of St. Andrews, Sylvia Vandover used to take a fresh baked loaf of bread. I think it might have been pumpkin bread or something like that. And if you visited St. Andrews on that Sunday, by the end of the day, you had this dropped off at your home as a welcome. Well, as we've grown, that's made it much more difficult to do. But someone reminded our group of that idea. Someone else said, you know what? We miss not getting to serve as a group together. We used to serve together at picnics and do other things, and we can't really do that right now. So then someone had the idea, hey, wait a minute. What if we, like, serve together by just going to different people's homes, writing a note, dropping off flowers or dropping off maybe cookies or something, and to say, hey, we miss you. You're being prayed for. Let us know how you're doing. And so the group got really excited, and so I was able to come up with 70 family names here, and I gave each of them 10 names. And it was so exciting to see our group go out and deliver these notes and these little gifts to people in the past couple of weeks. When I think about that, I think about that's ministry. That's people who are equipped to do ministry, going out and doing it, coming up with creative ideas to say, what does it look like for us to be the body of Christ to the body of Christ in this very strange season that we're in? So I don't know about you, what that would look like for you. It might be that. It might be something totally different. But what I want to challenge you with through this passage today is seeing the importance of shared ministry. If we're going to be a church body that really thrives, that we need to be caring for one another, using our gifts, whether it's serving little ones on a Sunday morning or taking a meal to someone or sending a note or making a phone call or serving in any way. When we, the body of Christ, are built up caring for one another, the church thrives. And friends, when the church thrives, the community thrives. This city of Little Rock can be very different because of the people here at St. Andrews and all the different spheres of influence in which we live. So I want to leave you with a few questions as I close this morning. The first is this: what's the part that God has called you to play in building His kingdom? What's the part He's called you to play? How has He gifted you? How can you share in the ministry that He's put before you? Where's God calling you to serve this year? Now, you may walk away and go, I don't know. I'd encourage you to spend time in prayer. But also, I want you to see we are resources. Dustin and I, our staff. I'm going to highlight Jessie Smith. She does an amazing job here helping build and connect people in community and finding ways to serve. We have an incredible team. Our role isn't to do all the ministry. We have a role to play in that, but we want to equip you this year, the body of Christ, to see your calling, to stand up and to thrive and to shine. So this church will be built up to the end that this community will be different. I want to end with this. In a few moments, we're going to come before the table as we celebrate communion. And what I want to remind you about that is this. As we come before the table, we are coming as ones who are accepted by God. We are coming as ones who are sons and daughters, redeemed, forgiven. We are coming as ones whom God has said, I have blessed you. Come dine with me. I want you to remember that. Because we forget it a lot of times. And a lot of times that's what keeps us from going out and being the hands and feet of Jesus. As you take of this meal in a minute and you get up and you walk out of here, remember who you are. You are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so may we join Him in this incredible privilege of shared ministry together. That we actually get to be the hands and feet of Jesus to one another and to this community. Amen? Father, I pray that you would stir in us this morning. Stir in us this week ahead. Stir in us as we think about a new year that we're entering into. Open our eyes to the calling that you've placed upon us. Help us see who we are as your sons and daughters. That you have given each of us gifts. Father, may we live into those this year. May we thrive. May the city see something different because of the people at St. Andrews. Thank you for inviting us into this incredible calling. Pray that we would stand in it well in your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.